Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Women to Women Show. This is Pastor Rebecca. It's a blessing and an honor to be with you on today. I am excited about what God is going to do. I have a very special guest, and she said, the singer said, "I survived." My God, God is just so good and so worthy to be praised. If you survived anything, you just might as well go ahead and give God some praise, because he truly is worthy to be praised. I tell you, I just love the Lord. I love him. I love him. I love him with everything in me. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I sure am rejoicing and being glad in it. Amen. I'm just so glad that God woke me up this morning and started me on my way, and that he is still working miracles in my life. I tell you, we serve a mighty God. I tell you, I'm in warfare right now because I'm trying to get my chat room open. I see that the phone lines are lit up. So for those of you who are looking to get in the chat room, we should have that up and running shortly. Just pray, because I tell you, Apostle Vansett Luster is my special guest on today. And I tell you, there is some warfare even around this broadcast as we begin to go into the presence of the Lord and to hear what God is going to say through this great woman of God. I know that it's going to be a powerful broadcast because I'm already having difficulty getting to my chat room, and that's something that I experienced. It's very rare that I experience that. So I'm going to just play another song, and then I'm going to work on my chat room a little bit, and I will be back. Why don't we just go ahead and praise God? Why don't we praise God anyhow? Amen. Just because he's worthy. I will be right back.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We praise you, O Lord. This is the way we praise you. Amen. God is so good, and he's so worthy to be praised. I love the Lord, I tell you. And it's just a great opportunity to come into the presence of the Lord again. I just pray that you're praising God anyhow, in spite of the opposition, in spite of the enemy, in spite of anything that might be trying to come against you. We just got to praise God anyhow. We got to praise God in the middle of the trial. We have to praise God in the middle of the storm. Okay, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you to the Woman to Woman Show. I pray that while you were praising him, that you were on Facebook and Twitter telling people about the Woman to Woman Show, because today I have a very special guest, and I'm going to be bringing her on the air very shortly. I tell you, this woman of God, I'm just so honored that she is with us. So right after these announcements, I'll be introducing my guest and bringing her on board. Amen. I want to pretty much announce to you that I am the author of 5 books, and they are life-changing books. It's a ministry that the Lord has given me to empower women primarily, but also to empower men. And I want to invite you to go over to my website at www.nccmonline.org and support the ministry. Support the ministry. You can purchase a copy of any of the books over there. And if you want to, you can sow into the ministry. Amen. That way we can continue to provide the time. I can continue to spend my time serving the Lord, pouring into the lives of women and men everywhere. So I invite you to go over to our website. There are a couple of sermons there, two powerful sermons preached by my husband and myself, and I'm sure you will be blessed by what you find over there on the radio and books and videos page. Amen. And then I want to invite you to come and worship with us. We are New Creation Christian Ministries, the Kingdom Church, and we are serving the Lord with everything that is in us. We are available located at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey, and our service time is 11 o'clock a.m. We have a powerful time of worship, and you are invited to come over any Sunday or any Wednesday. Wednesday we go into the Word, and we study the Word of God. We must study to show ourselves approved, and that's at 7:30 p.m. every Sunday. Amen, and praise God, 7:30 p.m. every Wednesday. Don't come out there on 7:30 p.m. on Sunday, because we won't be there. Amen. So I praise God. I will be preaching tomorrow at Christ Temple over on 20th Street in Newark, New Jersey, where Pastor Denise Talbot is the pastor. They're in the middle of their men's and women's conference, and I will be closing out their conference tomorrow. If you want information on that, you can inbox me over at Facebook or send me an email at powerintheword1@yahoo.com. Amen. Amen. So we have now gotten the announcements done, and I am ready to present to you and introduce to you my guest, Apostle Fanfan Luster. I want to go ahead and just let you know a little bit about Apostle Fanfan Luster before I bring her on the air. She was born in Harlem, New York, on August the 14th, 1955, chosen by God from her mother's womb. She was raised in a church with an apostolic Pentecostal background under the leadership of Bishop Charles Poole and Mattie R. Poole, founders of Bethlehem Healing Temple in Chicago, Illinois. After moving to Hinesville, Georgia in 1976, this woman of God began to hear the voice of the Lord calling out to her, saying, "Blow the sound of the trumpet." After accepting the call of the Lord through much struggle, Apostle Fanfan Luster was ordained and licensed as an evangelist. And she began to be implemental in many men and women giving their lives to God as she began to walk in her office gift. Anointed by God, she traveled throughout regions of Georgia, Florida, and parts of Illinois, preaching the gospel of deliverance, conducting revivals, ministering in the streets, forming women's fellowships, home prayers, Bible ministries, and appearing on radio prayer shows and crisis lines. Ministers were birthed Pastors were born, backsliders came home, and lives were changed. To God be the glory. In 1986, Apostle Vance Lester moved to Atlanta, Georgia. After living in Atlanta for a few years, experiencing dry places and struggling to make ends meet, she lost everything and became homeless. As this woman of God continued to pray and seek the face of God, not fully understanding the greatness of the call of God upon her life, she would dream dreams and see visions. She would speak into the lives of people, and it would come to pass, not fully understanding that there was a prophetic anointing on her life. God began to make another call, an unusual turning and pulling of the Lord, unlike the call of the evangelist. As a result of her obedience, obedience is key, and faithful walk in the Lord, with the Lord, the calling of the prophet and a birthing into the prophetic realm took place. In 1996, Vancette Lester was ordained and licensed into the office of the prophet under the leadership of GEM Ministries in Mapleton, Georgia, where the leaders were Bishop and Pastor Ferdinand and Barbara Yamasu. And it goes on. This woman's story does not end there. Her bio is quite extensive. As this godly woman continued to lay before the Lord to seek his will for her life and a fresh word for the people, the Lord began to call out to her in the early morning hours of February 1999 in the form of a powerful trumpet calling her. So then she struggled with that call, but she went ahead and became a pastor. She was birthed and ordained and licensed into the office gift of the pastor, at which she pastored Fountain of Life Prophetic Deliverance Ministries in Tennessee in the year 1999. Souls gave their lives to the Lord. God's people were healed, and backsliders came home restored. Hallelujah. My God. My God. But it didn't stop there, because the call for elevation was not yet over for this woman of God. She, not fully understanding destiny's call upon her life, began realizing that she was carrying something bigger than she was. Much given, much required. Did you hear that, women of God, men of God? To whom much is given, much is required. Because in the year 2000, the spirit of the apostolic began to thrust this woman of God into the office gift of the apostle. There commenced another struggling, another wrestling, and fighting against this thrusting by the apostolic wind, not seeking God for any of this. She didn't look for this. She didn't ask God for any of this. This was, as she served and walked with the Lord began to drop these mantles upon this woman of God's life. And, you know, that goes to show that we don't have to push open doors. God will open the doors that need to be opened. So not seeking God for any of these calls or any of these offices, this apostolic mandate became more intense upon an apostle's life as time passed on. And I want to just stop there and say, when God has his hand on your life, there's nothing anyone can do about it. You can wrestle, you can fight, you can struggle, but when God calls you to do something, he's not going to leave you alone about that thing until it comes to pass. As this chosen vessel began to seek the face of God for more understanding, the Lord confirmed this mandate placed over her life, and she was ordained and licensed in September 2001 into the office gift of the apostle. She was instructed by the Lord to release her building and those under her apostolic covering. The Lord then sent her abroad and into the marketplaces to reach those who were wounded by the church and refused to come back. These are the wilderness children, the remnant of God. The Lord has entrusted them into Apostle Vincent's care to restore their spiritual health. Apostle Vincent Lester is the founder and visionary of Apostolic Flame Prophetic Deliverance Ministries International, which is a non-denominational mobile ministry without walls. She has been chosen for this time with an apostolic prophetic mantle for this kingdom age. She has birthed many spiritual sons and daughters who are now teachers, pastors, prophets, and apostles. Apostle Vincent has served in ministry for over 30 years. Actually, she told me on the phone the other day that she's been in ministry for 35 years. And she attended the School of the Apostles and Prophets. She is also the founder of Women of Wisdom Connections, the Elijah Institute of the Prophets, publisher of the Prophetic Brook Newsletter, and publisher and author of 9 books. 9 books. This woman of God has written 9 books, including the book that we'll be talking about today, which is Wrong Decisions Can Lead You in the Wrong Direction. The making of the apostle of God took 46 years, and today he is still making and forming this woman of God for his glory. Apostle Vincent was ordained and licensed into the apostolic office in 2001 by Apostle Paul and Prophetess Ida Thornton of Kingdom Dominion International Ministry. Her bio is quite extensive. I read the whole bio because I want you to know that I am honored to have this woman of God as my guest today. And we are going to be so blessed over this next hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, as we share with Apostle and as she shares with us. So I want you to join me in welcoming my guest today, Apostle Vincent Lester. My God. Welcome, Apostle Vincent. Welcome to the Woman to Woman broadcast, the Woman to Woman show.
God bless you. God bless you. Oh, my goodness. As I was hearing you read my bio, at first I was trying to think, who is she reading about? And I, as I began to listen to you, I became so overwhelmed. And I just listening to, I don't think I've ever had anybody to actually just read my whole bio, and I listened. And so while I was listening and I was hearing that, I just felt just a humble, just humility, just the hand of God. And I said, dear God, I said, is that me? Is this me? And it just is humbling. And as you were reading, one word came to me, faithfulness. Faithfulness. And if God can find a vessel that is willing to be faithful to God in the call of God that's on their lives. When God calls you, he's looking for vessels to be willing and faithful and available. I will always say that because, you know, man sometimes says you have to have this credential for this and credential for that, and you have to have this and that. But as you were reading, I heard two words, faithfulness. I was able to release these different mantles on your life because of your faithfulness, and I can trust you. God has to be able to trust us with the mantle that he releases upon our lives. So I give God praise, and I give him glory for who he is and just trusting me enough to choose me to release these mantles. And I was just overwhelmed when I was tears was coming to my eyes. Actually, I said, Lord, I'm getting ready to go on. Don't let me do this on air.
Wow.
God, this is so powerful. And because I don't see myself in that way, I just do what God calls me to do. And I keep myself in God's presence to stay humble in his presence so he can use me for the blessings of his people and for his glory. So when you were reading, it was like he was reading about somebody else's life, and I just, like, I couldn't comprehend that for a moment there. So, but I just got to thank God for the opportunity of being invited on your show. It's indeed an honor and a blessing for this favor and for this door of favor, and God just opened this door. And I want to discuss today on Wrong Decisions. It was some highlights that the Lord had put in my spirit.
Amen, Apostle. I didn't mean to cut you off. Amen. I definitely want you to do that. You know, I was thinking today, just now as you were speaking, there's such a strong anointing, even in your life. I want to move out of the way and just let you go ahead and speak on your book and on what the Lord has put in your heart. As I was coming into the broadcast today, I was experiencing technical difficulties. I played two songs today. Delayed the show, speaking a little longer than I normally would have. And the Lord just revealed to me that I'm feeling that there is some resistance to what God is getting ready to do here. And I always open with prayer. Because I got distracted, I did not open with prayer. So if you don't mind, I just want to pray, and then I'm going to just release it, and we're going to talk about your book, primarily with you doing, saying whatever the Lord has put in your belly for you to pour out. If you don't mind, I just want to go ahead and pray.
Okay, you want me to pray?
Oh yes, amen, hallelujah. That's even better, God bless you. Amen.
Praise God. Father God, we thank you for your greatness. We thank you for your awesomeness. We thank you for who you are. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us on today to come before your people to deliver your word. Father, I pray right now that you would just open up the ears and the heart and the spirit of the people, that they will receive what you would have to give them on today. Father, I ask that you would bless this ministry, woman-to-woman ministry, bless Pastor Rebecca, Father, and what she's endeavored to do, that you would take her to another height, another dimension in you. And, Father, we just come against any complications against the radio airwaves, the communication lines. Father, we just bind up the hand of the enemy, the spirit of sabotage, the spirit of assassination, the backlash, Father. The spirit of retaliation, we bind up everything that's not like you. And, Father, we take control over the enemy. And, Father, we thank you that no weapon that is formed against us, it shall not prosper in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just cancel out the assignment of the enemy. We take authority over the enemy. We crush the assignment of the enemy. We render him powerless and effective against this radio program today in the name of Jesus. For we declare and decree victory in this day and on this radio station. We thank you for the peace of God, the understanding of God, the wisdom of God, the revelation of God being released upon us today. And we thank you that the word of God will fall on good ground. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, amen. I felt God with that prayer. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. So, Apostle, with that, I want you just to go ahead with what you were saying just before we prayed. Amen.
Praise God. I was saying that as I was preparing this morning to come on the air today, I was just in his presence, in my word, just worshiping and just praying and talking to the Lord. As I begin to just pray and talk to the Lord, the Lord begins to bring something up in my spirit, and I know that it's a woman-to-woman's ministry, and I have some things the Lord just put in my spirit just to highlight from my book. Of course, I won't get to everything in the book, but it was the main key points that he dropped in my spirit to just highlight it and to just, you know, talk about. But he also dropped the men in my spirit, and I heard the Lord said to pray, minister to the men as well. So I don't know if there are men on the line. You know, I don't know if there's any men or if there is a few men. But if there are some men on the line, we want to also deal with the men and pray for the men that they will be healed. One of the things the Lord was dropping in my spirit today was praying for the healing of the women. He said, pray for the healing of the men, because there are men that have been wounded in relationship as well. There are men that are yet hurting, and they can't go any further. So as I minister what God has given me, I'm going to kind of put the men in there as well. God has a heart for the men, and it's not that we're leaving the men out, but the Lord just put that. He said, pray for the men, that they will be healed, that they will be able to love again. I said, oh, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. He said, there are men that are wounded and they're hurting. And I don't know if there's any men, that if there are any men listening to the sound of my voice, I want to say this prophetically, that if you are hurt, if you've been wounded from past relationships, it's been broken from past relationships, discouraged and been thrown into that cave, and if you're afraid to come out to love again, the anointing of the Lord is here today to heal that part of you that you've been in a relationship, you've been in a marriage, and you were wounded, you were disappointed, you were a good man of God, you loved that woman, and you did your part as a man of God in the priesthood of house, but you were wounded, and you know, you were broken in pieces. God wants to heal you because he respects you. He still needs you to be healed so you can be able to love again. So I want to encourage every man that's listening that God has not left you out of the picture. He has not he's not looking over you nor forsake you, but God is here to heal you on today. So we're going to pray as Pastor Rebecca just guide us on in the show. We want to pray for those men that will be bold enough to come forth so we can pray for them because God wants them to be able to love again. He wants them to love again. So that was so awesome when the Lord put that in my spirit. He said, I want them to be able to love again. Oh, Yama, shut up. He wants them to be able to love again. You know, women, we are always hurting. We're the one that's disordered and, you know, we're put in different parts and we're scattered in parts because we've been wounded, we've been broken, we've been lied to, we've been rejected. You know, we go through it, but men go through rejection too. And God wants to do something for the men as well as the women on today because he wants men hurt in a different way than women hurt. And when men hurt, they go into a cave and they hide and they shut down and they become this little wounded little boy that's afraid to come out the cave to love again. So men desire to be loved just like women desire to be loved. I don't have any just written down, Pastor Vic. I'm just flowing out of the Holy Ghost right now.
Yes.
But God wants the men to know that he is also here for you and he wants to, he has someone special. I'm hearing the Holy Ghost say that he has a special roof for you. He has a roof. He has an Esther. He has a special woman of God that will love you the way you need to be loved as a man of God, as a priest of God. And God wants you to rise up and to be strong within yourself so God can begin to mold and shape you and bring you to your priesthood, the place that you should be walking in according to God's will. God, I just bless you today. I just bless you. And I give you praise and I give you glory. I thank God for Hallelujah. I want to go right in and I want to just bring out some high points that the Lord has given me about let the stuff go. Let that stuff go. That's in my book. That's on page 18. Let that stuff go. I asked the Lord, what are the high points? What are the key things you want me to deal with? And most of the time we as women, we are incubators and we hold on to stuff. We hold on to memories. We hold on to the memories of the dead old relationship. We hang on to those memories that tag unforgiveness. We hold on to resentment. We hang on to anger and animosity and guilt and shame. And we have those memories that sometimes we play back as a recorder. We push the repeat button and we play it back. We play it back. And that keeps us holding on to those old memories. Today, God wants you, he wants us to let stuff go. He calls it stuff. He said, let that stuff go. It might have been a relationship that you've been in for 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. Sometimes women hold on to relationships that's 8 years ago. They just can't let it go. 10 years ago or 4 years ago, however many years it's been, women have a tendency, not all women now, but there are most women that have a tendency to hold on to a relationship and they don't want to let go, and then they're wondering why God has not blessed them with someone else. Why hasn't someone else new come in their life? That's because we sometimes subconsciously hold on to old relationships and the memories. And I remember when so-and-so and so. God said, let that stuff go. Apostle, how do I let it go? I can't seem to let it go. I don't know how to let it go, some might say. You let it go. When you cannot let something go, when you find yourself at a place in your life where you can't seem to let something go, it means that you have not forgiven. And we got to go back to the unforgiveness, the forgiving. You have not forgiven that person. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
When you forgive a person, when you forgive them, to let the stuff go. You can let the stuff go when you've actually truly forgive them. Listen, I want to read this little part from my book. It says, let that old stuff go so you can go on with your life. As long as you hold on to the past, you will never see your future. The inability to release bitterness results in repeated relationship train wrecks. Watch this. Letting go means forgiving and asking for forgiveness. I'm going to stop right there first. Letting go means forgiving and asking for forgiveness. Now, forgiving yourself. It is a two-way street. You have to forgive yourself. The other person that was in the party with you that possibly hurt you, you can ask them to forgive you. And they said, okay, I forgive you. But then if you walk away with their forgiveness and you never forgive yourself, you're still locked in to your past because you haven't forgiven yourself. We leave ourselves out, and we forget that we have to forgive our own self as well. Because what happens is when we don't forgive ourselves, there is the guilt that walks with us, that we carry with us from year, from year, from year, from year, from week to week, to month, from hours and minutes and seconds. There's the unforgiveness where we haven't forgiven ourselves. Sometimes we're trying to figure out, well, Lord, I've forgiven that person. Why am I not free? Why don't I feel free? Why can't I go on? Sometimes we have to stop and ask God to show us. And many times the Lord says, forgive yourself, because then we find ourselves being guilty. So if I didn't do that in the relationship, this wouldn't have happened. Well, if I didn't do that in the relationship, this wouldn't have happened. Or if I didn't say this, or if I didn't do that, that wouldn't happen. And then we blame ourselves, which is guilt. Now we're guilty. Now we're walking around with guilt on our back. Or we can either have guilt in the paper bag, and we're carrying guilt around because we have not forgiven ourselves. In order to be totally free from our past, in order to let the stuff go, we must. It's a two-way thing here. It's a two-way gate. You push the gate to go out, and you can swing the gate to open the gate to come in, go out and come in. So you have to ask forgiveness from the other person. And if the other person refuses to forgive you, then that's not on you. That's on them. But you did your part. But now you must forgive yourself. Forgiveness is freedom. Forgiveness is freedom. And the ability to let go literally sets your soul free from releasing you from bondage. Letting go means surrendering the need for control. Wow. Letting go means surrendering the need for control. Sometimes people hold on to forgiveness, unforgiveness, because it gives them a power of control over a person. Wow.
You can say that again. Yeah, say that again, Apostle. That was powerful right there. Wow.
Yes. Sometimes when we hold on to unforgiveness, it gives us that sense of control over that person. It gives us, it's a power of control. It gives us that sense of control that we have over that person, and it's like a string that we have them connected to. And as long as we have that unforgiveness and we don't forgive them, then they feel guilty because they felt like they've done everything they can do to ask for your forgiveness. But because we refuse to give that person our forgiveness, it's giving us a sense of control, a power of authority over them. So we control them with this string, and we just pull them everywhere. We control them with this string. It's because now we have control over that person. Because it's really it's really unforgiveness, but it's giving us that power to feel like now I have control over you in a different way. And sometimes that's what's going on in a marriage when you have a husband that is very abusive to his wife. or vice versa, because there are some marriages that the woman is very abusive to her husband verbally. She could be verbally abusive, and he says nothing back to her. And as long as that unforgiveness is there, that's that sense of power control. I have you in my control, and I can control you now. As long as I don't release you from my unforgiveness, I can control you. That's
yes.
a powerful, powerful spirit. And we have to search ourselves. We have to get in God's face and allow God to reveal us to us.
Mm.
So he can show us what we need to be delivered from. The work starts within us. And so many times in relationships, we're always pointing the finger at the other person. We're always looking at the other person, thinking, okay, if you do this and if you do this, I'll be okay. But many times we need to allow ourselves to go into the presence of God and allow God to reveal us to us. So we can see ourselves how God sees us. Because if we stand in God's presence, he is going to reveal. The first person he's going to reveal to us is going to be ourselves before he reveals that other person. Because when we go into God's presence, we're going because of that person. God, he hurt me. God, she hurt me. Did you see what he did? Did you see what she did? Did you see how they treated me? And then what God does, he shows us ourselves first. It doesn't sound fair, but that's how God works.
Yes, yes. Wow. That is just awesome. It doesn't sound fair, but it's just so amazing because when we go into God's presence, it's just us and God, you know, and God is going to deal with us. Like you say, he's going to deal with us first, which is why so many people shy away from actually pushing into the presence of the Lord, you know, just it's scary, you know, because when you get in there, you know, you're in his presence and you're subject to his power. So something's got to give when you go into the presence of the Lord. You're striking a chord with somebody. The phone lines are lit up. Go ahead, Apostle. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to continue. I want to say this, too, of letting the stuff go, letting the stuff go. I want this to sink in. And so now letting the stuff go means you have to start discerning yourself to see what stuff that you haven't let go. Because many times we can hold on to stuff and not realize we haven't let it go. And that's because the subconscious part of our mind, that soulish rim of us, we have a tendency as women because we're incubators. We pack stuff in, we harvest stuff, we keep stuff, and we carry it, and we forget that we have it, and it's there in the subconscious mind, and we think we're letting everything go. And then later on down the road, years down the road, when we're in God's presence, see, this is where things is revealed. It's when we get in God's presence. That's what God reveals us to us. It's when we get into his presence. He peels us like a banana. He said, I want you to see this beauty. Because if you go buy a banana in the store, I'm just saying what I'm seeing this thing here. You go to the store and you buy a banana. Sometimes if you look at banana, you don't see any bruises on the outside of the banana because you're looking for a perfect banana. You don't want it too ripe, but you want it just right so you can eat that banana. And you're looking on the outside of that banana, it looks nice and yellow, nice and gold. You don't see any brown spots. And you buy that banana, many times this has happened to me, I buy a few bananas and I bring it home and I peel that banana that it looks perfect to me on the outside. It looks like I can go ahead and eat it. I don't have to cut away any brown spots from it. But when I get home and pull that peeling back off the banana, I find out way down at the very bottom, of the banana, there's a brown spot. But I didn't see the brown spot on outside of the skin. But the brown spot was forming. It was hidden from my naked eye, and I could not see the brown spot. Thank you. Let me go. But as I began to pick up that, so what God is saying to us, we look like bananas to people. We're nice and smooth on the skin, on the surface part. Everything looks good on the surface part. Everything looks okay. There's no blemishes on the surface part. But if we allow God to begin to peel us, in our private moment with God, in our secret time with God, and we'll allow God to peel the skin away. And as he begins to peel that banana in our private time, in our secret time with God, in our personal, our intimate time with God, when you allow yourself to become naked before God, when you allow yourself to become naked and you allow God to take the clothes off, and God peel back the beauty of the clothes, and he said, now let me show you this brown spot that's forming, that is, it hasn't come to the surface yet, but it's under the skin, it's under the layer, and I want you to see the brown spot so we can do something about the brown spot. On that, but if that brown spot becomes brown, and if you don't deal, if you don't cut the brown spot away, watch this. I'm hearing the Holy Ghost. You peel that banana. You let that banana sit long enough. Eventually, the brown spot that's growing on the inside that you don't see on the outside of the skin, it's going to begin to grow and affect the skin, and then you're going to see the brown spot come through the skin.
My God.
Now, it's rocky. Oh, God, help us today, God. Help us today. Almost shot. But if we allow God to peel us in our intimate time with God, get naked before him, and allow him to peel up the surface of us, that part that looks good in front of man, that part that looks okay, it looks beautiful in man. But if we get naked before God and say, God, show me the ugly part that nobody else sees, and we allow God then to cut away. Now, there's a cutting. There's a cutting away. And that's the part we run from, because that part doesn't feel good. Because now he has to cut away the brown spot that we allowed to stay there too long to become brown. But if we dealt with it from the beginning, it wouldn't have been a brown spot.
My God.
The brown spot is a sign that something is not right.
Ooh, my God.
And when we let go of those, that old stuff, the old hurts, the old pains, and we lay aside every weight that easily beset us and the excess baggage of the past. See, if we get rid of that, it won't be excess baggage.
My God. My God.
When we come from relationships, and if we leave that baggage there instead of carrying the baggage, let me paint a picture for you. Let's say you're in three relationships. And each relationship is a broken relationship. But the first relationship was a broken relationship. You're hurt. You're full of pain. You're full of rejection. So you got a bag from there. Then you jump to another relationship. Then now you're in this here new relationship. You got the old hurt, the old rejection, that bag from that last relationship. Now you jump to the third relationship, and you have the bags and the hurts and the rejection from the first and the second relationship. So now you're weighted down with excess baggage of the past. Because you've allowed yourself to go through a rebound, what I call rebound relationships. Because you're trying to find peace and healing in the next relationship to heal you from the relationship you just came out of, that the person just wounded you and rejected you, and now you're scattered everywhere. You're scattered in each of one of these relationships, and now you're scattered everywhere. And you never allowed yourself to be healed from the first relationship, so now brown spots are coming up. Brown spots.
My God.
Excess
My God.
Baggage in the soul. And no one can see it on the outside but God. But eventually, it's going to manifest.
Ooh.
It's going to transform into your character. It's going to transform. And so by the time you get to the fourth relationship, you know, left the first and the second and third. Now you have all the baggage. You have all the past hurt, all the resentment, all the pain, all the old memories. You don't carry it from each relationship. So now you're in this brand new relationship, which is the fourth relationship, and you think you're okay. You think you're all right. And then until they do something that the first relationship, the person did something to you, now it's a flashback. And then you flashback, and then you respond to it. And so the person that you were in the first relationship is trying to figure out what's wrong, what did I do? And they don't realize that you have a flashback from the first relationship that you were never healed from, and you got the luggage in the fourth relationship, and they don't understand what's going on because you've never been healed. Help us, Holy Ghost. So we have to get rid of the old stuff. Let that stuff go.
Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. My God. Let it go. Jesus. You got to be healed. Apostle, as you were speaking and you gave the analogy of the banana, my God, they would have called that, they would call that banana bruised. God. Somebody might have dropped that banana, or somebody might have hit that banana in the wrong way. And that banana, even though it did not puncture the skin and it did not impact the outside of the banana, it bruised the inside of that banana. My God, that is just so powerful. What a powerful analogy. And that we're walking around bruised on the inside, and we're wearing the mask, you know, our banana skin, and no one can see through that tough skin. Huh? No one can see through the skin to see who we really are on the inside. And then, like you said, oh, my God, that was so powerful, the way that you talked about that little brown spot caused by that bruise, that if it's never healed, it becomes contamination throughout the banana, and it begins to impact the whole banana. And eventually now it begins to show on the outside in the form of your character. Oh, wow. Wow. That is just so powerful. That is powerful. We got to be healed. We as women and men, we got to be healed, because that's where our relationships are suffering, because we're going from relationship to relationship and we're not being healed. And now the person who's totally innocent and even in the new relationship is being made to suffer because of that flashback that you talked about. My God. Go ahead, Apostle. Go ahead. God is speaking. God is definitely speaking. I want you to just speak a little longer, and then I see a couple of hands raised. We'll take a couple of calls. But wow, that's something powerful. So you said let it go. How do we? Yeah, there's a woman there, and she's relating to everything you just said. She's that banana, that bruised banana. And how does she get healed? You know, she's saying, how do I get healed? I've been here before. I've heard about the fact that I'm hurting. I've heard about the fact that I need to be healed. How do I get healed so that I don't make the wrong decision again going into my next relationship? How do I get healed?
Okay. Good question. We get healed first by forgiving. That's the key.
Wow.
That's the first key. We have to we have to choose to forgive. We have to come to a decision that I'm going to forgive this person. Now watch this. Watch how forgiveness is. We can come to a decision. I can make a decision to forgive you. But it doesn't mean that the hurt disappears.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that what you did to me leaves, that the pain or the disappointment leaves. I'm still disappointed. I'm still hurt. But I've chosen to forgive you in the midst of the disappointment and the hurt I yet feel. I forgive you. Because
yeah.
I choose to forgive you. And in the process, in the midst of the process of my walking my forgiveness out towards you, forgiving you, the healing process takes place. Because I choose to forgive you, I choose to lay it down, I choose to let the stuff go, I choose to erase the memory, I choose to let the memory go, I choose to leave it alone. I choose not to carry it everywhere I go.
I just went to a praise. Oh, go ahead, Apostle. My God. Oh.
When people choose not to forgive, I'm gonna say that again. When people choose not to forgive, they remain unhealed. They remain in bondage. They remain in that same place that they're in. And they never, ever able to come to a place of complete healing and deliverance. because they choose not to forgive. So what they end up doing is locking themselves in to a place of unforgiveness, which hinders them from going any further in life, from receiving anything from God, because now they're locked into their past, into this hurt, into this pain, and everybody else is going on ahead of them. Even the person that afflicted pain and disappointment, they're going on. They're free. They're free. Matter of fact, I'm going to just use myself right now. I just had a situation not too long ago where I thought that this person was a person of God. I thought this person, because this person preaches, they minister the word, I thought this person was a person of God, a real person. They have churches, building ministries, been in ministry for 30 years, a more mature person in age than I am.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, okay, I can trust this person. Okay, we can do some business perhaps together. We can do ministry. You know, we could, you know. So all of a sudden, I started noticing some little traits of things. I started noticing some things. And all of a sudden, they did a 360-degree turn on me. And I'm like, oh, God. I went into a shock. I went into emotional shock. I'm like, I couldn't believe this.
Wow.
So I struggled with that for a moment.
Jesus.
But because I said, oh, I had to go to God. I had to get on my face. I had to lay in God's face. I had to let the tears, I had to get naked before my Father. And when I got naked before him, I said, Lord, you know what I want to do. We have to be real when we're in God's face. You know, we can put all this manufactured face on. We can manufacture ourselves to be okay, I'm fine, everything is okay when we're in front of other people. But when we get in God's face, you get naked. I got naked, and I said, God, now you know if I wasn't saved, what I would do. We have to be real with God. We have to be real with ourselves. Wait a minute. Let me step back. And we're not real with ourselves first. My God, we'll never be able to be delivered. We have to be real with ourselves first before we can even be real with God. That's Shakomo Fire. Because who can we fool? Do we think we can fool God? Not so. God wants us to be real with ourselves first. And when we're real with ourselves, I'm real with myself. And then I say, okay, God, here I come. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I need you to help me. I said, I choose to forgive this person. Tears running down my eyes. I choose to forgive this person, God. Disappointed all in my soul. I choose to forgive this person. God, I don't believe they did this. I choose to forgive them, God, because I want to be free to go on to my future. And in that very moment, I'm still hurting. I'm still full of disappointment, but yet God is healing me all at the same time because I choose to forgive them.
Jesus.
And
that's
when we choose to forgive, God takes over. He shall come up. Well, we can't do the rest. God knows how far we can go in forgiving a person because we're human. We're human beings. But when we acknowledge to God and say, God, I choose, now you take over the rest. And as I was telling God, I want to forgive. And I began to, and as I kept praying and laying out before God, I went back again. And I went back again. And I went back again. And as I kept going before God's face again, and I kept saying, God, I forgive them, still disappointed, God, I forgive them. And I began to pray the Holy Ghost, the anointing of God.
Wow.
And as God begins to reveal that to me, I begin to pray for their hurt and their deliverance. And as I begin to do that, the release for forgiveness begins to come. The disappointment begins to disappear. The hurt begins to disappear. The pain begins to disappear. And all of a sudden, now I can pray for them now with no hurt. I can pray for them now with no disappointment. I don't feel the disappointment no more. I don't feel the rejection. I don't feel it no more. I can pray for them now and I don't feel it. That's because mm-hmm. I really forgive them. I chose to.
Wow. That's powerful.
God,
wow.
That's how you allow yourself to go through. I call it allowing, this is on page 20, when I said let the healing begin in my book. I said allow yourself to go through the healing process. I think what happens with us is we think that we're healed overnight. No.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we've been emotionally hurt and emotionally wounded, emotionally rejected, there's a process because we did not get emotionally, we were not afflicted with that pain and that rejection overnight. It was a process when we got hurt. It was a process when we were rejected. We're not just rejected just instantly. We're rejected through a process. But we
yeah.
really don't really realize it until we wake up one day and say, oh, my goodness, this person's rejecting me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're being rejected through a process. We have to heal through process. So when we allow ourselves to go through a healing process is you're still moving, but you're allowing God to heal you. And then God takes over where you can't go any further. We go as far as we can go, but then if God takes over where we can't go any further, that's why I call it walking it out until you get to the finishing line of unforgiveness. And then you'll find yourself being healed. God will heal. You'll wake up one day and say, oh, my God, I'm healed.
Yeah, yeah, I can relate to that. Yes, 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 Apostle Francis. Oh, yes, I can relate to that. Yes, my goodness. Oh, my God, I'm healed. You wake up, and it's like it is. It is a miracle. It's supernatural. Only God can heal us from some of the stuff that has been afflicted upon us. My God. You know, I talk about often the molestation and you talked about the rejection and the abandonment. You know, and these are childhood issues even that we carry into adulthood. And this is even some of the same stuff that in order for us to be in a good relationship, we got to let it go. You know, and your book is so powerful. I read your book in one day. I started reading it and I put it down. I started reading it. I opened. I read the introduction. I put it down. But then the next time I picked it up, I read it all the way through. I just sat there and I could not stop turning the pages. And we're talking about your book out of the 9 that you've written. I'm looking forward to reading more. But this is the wrong decision. And you have all of this content within the book. And it just ministers to you. Just like it feels like you were talking to me as I was reading, just like you're talking to us now. And it's just so powerful because it is personal. I felt like it was personal, like you had walked this thing out. And even hearing your testimony now, I realized that you have walked it out and you're still walking it out. And that's what makes it so powerful because you've been there and you've experienced rejection. You've experienced the pain, and now you're teaching us how to let that stuff go, how to let it go, how to forgive, and how to walk out our healing. Just powerful, and to God be the glory. To God be the glory, my God.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus. We're making to God be the glory. Yes, God. So, moreover, you want me to continue to go on, Pastor Rebecca?
Yes, yes.
And I want to say this, the healing process, just wrong. We get to these places that I've mentioned by making wrong decisions. And I want to say this before, I may not get a chance to say this, but sometimes we make wrong decisions. I see the Lord has just had me kind of jumping around a little bit. I'm just being led of the Lord. Wrong decisions. Some people may say, well, you know, how do I know I'm making a wrong decision? And I just here's in my book as well, on page 57, I speak about the danger zone in wrong decisions, the issues behind making wrong decisions. It's One is being lost in your past. That you can't cause it. One is, let me see, being lost in your past can cause you to make future mistakes. Because when you're lost in your past, you're stuck in your past. You think like you're in your past. You function like you're still in your past. So therefore, you can't function or think or plan for your future because you're still stuck in your past. In the decisions that you made for your past, you can no longer make those decisions for your future. So sometimes when people are stuck in their past or lost in their past, it's impossible and it's hard to make future decisions when you're still lost in your past. Low self-esteem from past abuse will cause us to make wrong decisions. A lack of confidence and value in oneself and not knowing who you are as a person will cause us to make wrong decisions. Being in the company of negative influence and listening to the wrong voice will cause you to make wrong decisions. I have to say that again. Being in the company of negative influence and listening to the wrong voice will cause us to make wrong decisions. And Pastor Rebecca, you are a pastor. How many times have you seen ones come? And I've pastored people, I've mentored, I've birthed sons and daughters. How many times have you experienced, and I've experienced, people will come and you know they made a wrong decision because of, well, how did you come about this decision? But where did you get this from? How did you arrive at this decision? Well, my aunt, my uncle said to me to do so and so and so. Okay, uncle's not saved. Uncle is not delivered. Or my grandmother. We love our family members. But what ends up happening is a Christian sometimes end up going to the arm of flesh seeking for wise counsel. And when we go to the flesh seeking for wise counsel, we're going to get the wrong decision. Okay, I'm hearing something in the spirit. I'm hearing something. Let me put some more understanding on this. I'm picking up something in the spirit. I have some people that I love, but they're not saved. They're not sanctified. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. They're not spirit led by God. They don't fast for directions. They don't seek God for instructions for their lives. So, but I'm a saved, sanctified woman, and I seek God's instruction for my life. So it would be foolish for me to go to an unsaved person that does not seek God for their life to get wisdom from them, to give me wisdom for my life when I'm seeking God for my life, when I'm led, spirit-led, and they're flesh-led. Do that make some sense?
Wow.
So sometimes we get wrong. Sometimes we listen to the wrong voice. And it's just sometimes like God will speak to a woman of God or a man of God and said, I want you to pack up and I want you to go to another city and I want you to move there because I have something there for you. And then they go try to seek advice from someone and their family that they love. That's a good person. They're not a bad person. They're a good person. But they don't have the will of God for their life. And they should say, no, you better not go because, you know, you'd be too far. As a matter of fact, I just had a young lady say that to me yesterday. She was saying to me how she almost made a wrong decision for her daughter. Well, what she ended up doing was giving her daughter motherly advice instead of listening to the voice of God for her daughter's life, because God had a plan for her daughter. Her daughter's 18. She's going away to Florida to college. Well, what mother wouldn't want their children to stay home? You know, you don't want your daughter going off somewhere. But she realized that God had a plan, and God told her to tell her that I didn't tell you to tell her that I have a plan for her life, and you need to let her go because I have a plan for her in Florida. But you're giving her advice to stay here. That came out of the heart of the mother. It didn't come from God.
Wow.
So sometimes we can get wrong advice, and we make wrong decisions from that wrong advice. And it doesn't have to be a wrong advice out of a heart that is evil toward it. It could be just what I call a soulful word. Because we also, and I don't want to kind of go off, but I want to go here just a little bit, Pastor Rebecca. It's sometimes when we give a word of prophecy, and I teach the prophets because I have a school of prophets, And I teach the prophets to be careful when they give a word, a prophetic word, make sure that word comes from God, because if it doesn't come from God, you have to be careful that you don't give them a soulish word. A soulish prophetic, a soulish word is a desire from their soul, and the word doesn't come from God, but it's still prophetic because it comes out of a prophetic vessel.
Yes. Wow, that's good. Good. That's good teaching. My God.
So, and I teach the prophets that. So I use that as a pattern to say sometimes we make wrong decisions because we can go to someone that's very prophetic, was very profound, and hear from God, and it could be someone that's very close, someone that you're knitted to, but you have to be careful of the word that they give you. You have to make sure that it's a word that's coming from God and not from their soul. And because they are prophets, and when a prophet opens their mouth, that word comes to pass, whether it's negative or bad, because it's a prophetic word. But we have to be careful that we don't give a soulish word to a person, and it's the wrong advice for them, and it takes them in the wrong direction.
Yes, yes. Wow.
Jumping into different relationships after a breakup of another can lead us into wrong decisions. Unclean soul ties will cloud our judgment, looking for love in all the wrong places and wrong people can cause us to make wrong decisions. The last one is making decisions without the counsel of the Lord. We can end up making wrong decisions.
Yes, and those are the danger zones, wow, that cause us to make us issues behind making wrong decisions.
Yes.
From your book. I read that, and I was like, yeah, this is good, because it just puts everything, it summarizes those danger zones, you know, that we can walk into when it's time to make a decision. And I think that's some very powerful tools for people who have to make any kind of decision, whether it's a decision in their relationship or a decision for a job or to relocate or even for ministry. So, wow.
Yes.
Go ahead, Apostle. Powerful. I know we wanted to talk about, I don't know if this is where the Lord is leading you, how to identify when we're going into a relationship with the wrong person or an abusive person.
Oh, yes. How to identify an abusive person. How to identify an abusive person.
I don't want to break up the flow if that's not what God was sending you.
Yes. I forgot about that part. Let me put that one on the back burner just for a second. I want to finish this last little part out right here. Women, I want to just finish this part out with letting it go, letting the healing begin. Women, I want to read this little part right here on page 21. It says, moreover, women are like incubators, and we tend to house pain, disappointment, and emotional rejection in the womb of our soul. I like to deal with the soul because that's where the issues begin. The issue does not begin at the surface of a thing, but all of our issues that we bring or that we have, it starts from the soul. That's the root of every issue, is from the soul. When we see people acting out or doing things or not doing things right, acting out of character or what have you, it starts from the soul. It's embedded in the soul. So when we house disappointment, emotion, rejection, it comes from the wound of the soul. And we hold it, we nurse it, we water it. Most women do that. We like to hold on to it. We like to nurse it. We like to water it with sorrow and despair. And then the seed takes root. There's a seed that takes root and begins to grow inside of the womb of the soul. And then we become pregnant with that unforgiveness and that resentment. Let me stop right here. I'm hearing the Holy Ghost say, this is why sometimes it's hard for people to be healed. This is why sometimes it's hard for people to be delivered. It's because now they have become pregnant with that unforgiveness. They become pregnant, spiritually pregnant. Now, I know, I hope everybody's strong with it. They become spiritually pregnant with that unforgiveness. They become spiritually pregnant with that resentment because they've housed it so long. They've carried it for so long. They've incubated for so long. And this can also go for men as well. I had that encounter with a man of God who housed pain and hurt for so long until it became a fear to him. It became a part of fear. And he feared being loved. He feared being to open himself up to walk into a new relationship. And what happens is we birth, and what we birth in your, and what you birth in your spirit will now manifest in your character. And sometimes people act out what's in their soul. They act out what they've incubated. And sometimes we don't understand why is this person acting out like this or why are they doing this. It's because something has happened to them in the past, but now they're acting it out through their character when that's really not them. So this could be the reason for not being healed in some cases, delivered in some cases. It's because we have to deal with what's in the soul first. We have to acknowledge what's in the soul.
Wow.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I tell you, I'm in the chat room. I want to welcome Evangelist Cynthia Robinson, guest 1376, Minister Valerie Allen, also the phone lines. I see Ray and Kathy. God bless you, Ray and Kathy Jones, and quite a few people on the phone lines. Phone lines are lit up. I don't recognize some of the numbers, but you are speaking. Our friend from North Carolina, God bless you. I see you there. So many, that's Sister Rosalind Mitchell. God bless you. I see you there. Amen. So many people are listening, and you are in the chat room. They're saying you're on fire. Evangelist Cynthia Robinson said it's confirmation for her in so many ways. What you're speaking is confirmation. So I know the Spirit of the Lord led you to talk about the things that you're talking about. That's why I said earlier I don't want to break up the flow, because I know that this is by divine appointment that you are here speaking into the lives of those who have gathered to hear what thus says the Lord, you know, prophetically and apostolically. So I'm just letting you know that God is speaking. Amen. And I'm going to move out the way and let God continue to speak. Go ahead, Apostle. My God. Hallelujah.
I'm going to put the recognizing the abusive man on the back burner just for a second, because I want to flow right to the soul, because I was talking about the soul, dealing with the soul. This is my area, and this is what I deal with, and I notice because I am deliverance as well, and dealing with people in ministry for so many years, I recognize, and the Lord revealed to me that, you know, you have people that come to the altar, and I have to give this little scenario first. When you're in church and you have people that come up to the altar, and here they come again, 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 and they repeatedly come back to the altar for the same issue. The same thing. And I had to question God, and I asked, I said, okay, God, what's the problem? I said, something is wrong here. I said, it's not your power, it's not your anointing. It's something going on in this person. They continue to come back to the altar for the same thing, over whatever it may be. They can't seem to let it go. And so God began to talk to me about the soul. He said, it's rooted. He said, you have to deal with the rooted issue. The soul.
Jesus. Say that again, Apostle. My God. Wow.
He said, you have to deal with the rooted issue of the soul. He said, this is why so many, and you know, most of our churches down through the years are filled with women. Thank God for the women. If it wasn't for the women, we wouldn't have churches.
Yeah.
We don't want to leave the men out. We thank God for the men. We need the men. We admonish the men. But thank God for the praying women, the women that, you know, that sustain us and keep us, and they support us in ministry. So most of the altars are filled with women. They're filled with men as well, but most of the majority of the time they're filled with women, and they come back to the altar with the same issue, and they never can get delivered from the same issue. And that's when the Lord said to me, he said, you have to deal with the rooted issue of the soul. You got to go down to the root and first get that dug up and find out where did the root come from. Why is this surfacing to the top? Why is this manifesting through their character? Why is this affecting their emotions? Why is this affecting them mentally? Why is this affecting them how they perform or how they care about their duties throughout the day? And it all goes back to a broken relationship. It all goes back to a relationship that they've been rejected in, that they've been abused in. And it has affected them, and it's an issue. It's a rooted issue that they never dealt with, or either they didn't realize that they need to deal with it from the root. They didn't know that it was still there. Sometimes subconsciously we hide stuff, we embed stuff to escape from the pain, to escape from the rejection, to escape from the abuse. It's hidden. We hide it in the subconscious part of us, and then it's buried, and now it becomes a rooted issue in the soul because it's been there so long, it takes root, and it grows, spiritual roots, and then other roots grow with it, attached with resentment, bitterness. All this is up from the soul. And I want to read this here from chapter 4 out of my book, page 52, I believe, just a little small part. It says unclean soul ties. I want to read this real quickly. It says, it is when you are emotionally tied. We're talking about soul ties. We want to deal with soul issues so women can be healed today. The men can be healed today because men can have it as well. As I said earlier, the Lord said men need to be healed as well. But we want to get healed today. We want to deal with this thing from the soul and not just look at the surface of it, but we want to dig deep. Now, this is going to be painful. It's going to be painful because it's a spiritual surgery that must take place, because now you must allow God to open you up in your soul and begin to pull the root up, the root that is now affected, the root now that is becoming rotten in the soul and is affecting the emotions of that person. It is now affecting the character of that person. When I was in prayer this morning, just sitting before God, he said, I need my people to be healed. He said, let's get healed now. It's time to be healed so he can take us on to another place in him, so he can take us to another dimension in him, so he can use us now. Oh, yes, Lord. Yeah. So he can us now to begin to heal others. God is tired of us coming back to the altar. I'm hearing the Holy Ghost now. God is tired of us coming back to the altar with the same rooted issue, rotted issue, contaminated issues of the soul, keep coming back and never being delivered from it. And then he said, but I can never use you to heal someone else that I have waiting on you to use so I can use you to heal them. So now what God wants us, he wants us now to get healed. So what he has to do is do some deep surgery. He has to get down to the root of the issue. He has to get down to the root of the issue. What is the main problem here? Where did this problem come from that is surfing in the emotions, is surfing in the character, is manifesting in our character? Where did it come from? And most of the times it comes from sometimes connecting to people that we should not have allowed ourselves to connect to. We can, when you are emotionally tied or attached to someone else's soul, a soul tie is formed when you are extremely close to someone or something, family members, best friends, boy, girlfriends, car, smoking. Babe, we'll talk about that on another show if the Lord has you invited. Smoking, baseball, a soul tie is easily formed. Watch this, but difficult to untie.
Wow.
Because of the emotional and spiritual attachment. I want you to picture yourself putting on a pair of tennis shoes and notice how easy it is to tie a bow. Tie it in, you know how you tie your shoestring in the tennis shoe, and you're tying that little bow. How easy it is to tie it. But then sometimes when you get ready to take those tennis shoes off and you get ready to untie, sometimes when you pull it out to untie it, you end up with a knot.
Wow.
And then you're trying to figure out, well, how did I end up with a knot? I'm just pulling it out, but I end up with a knot. It didn't come out so easy as it was when I was tying it together. So sewing a relationship or going into a relationship or binding, you know, soul tied is not so easy when it's coming out of it. It's easy to go in it, but it's not easy to come out of it. Because the longer you're in something, the harder it is to come out. There's a knot that has developed. And when we find ourselves, when we realize that we have sown a soul tie or got into a relationship and connected with a person and a soul tie has developed, and we realize that, oh, I need to get out of this.
Yes.
And when we find ourselves trying to get out of it, we realize that there's a knot and it's not as easy to come out of it as it was going into it.
That's
because our emotion has sown, we are now emotionally tied into this relationship. Now we realize we need to come out of this relationship because it's not good for me. It's not good for my emotions. It's not good for my soul. It's not good for my mind. And I need to come out of this relationship because now I realize I've tied a knot with someone that's not good for me.
Sometimes
we tie a knot with a person that they're poison, but we didn't realize that they were poison. We didn't realize that they were detrimental to our emotional health, our spiritual health, our mental health. So now we're realizing that we need to come out, and we've tied a knot. So now we have to figure out, how do I get out of this? I'm tied in this relationship emotionally.
Mm.
Oh, God, help us today. Help us today. Whereas every time two people come together, I want to read this. I want to get down to this part right here. Whereas every time two people come together intimately, an emotional covenant is made. Think of your soul as a sheet. Open your ears to hear this. You take a sheet and place it over a bed, from a bed to a bed. Okay, you take a sheet and place it from one bed to another bed, over and over again. Within a year, you've been with two or four different men a month. That's 24 or 48 men in that year's time that you never washed a sheet from. I'm painting a picture here. Walk with me. You are now emotionally a trash can. You have a sheet that you've used from one bed over and over and over again. And you've been with some of these men within a month's time, 24 to 40 men. You never washed a sheet. And now you're an emotional trash can. Allow me to give you a clear vision by being with those men. You made numerous soul-tied connections, 24 men, 40 men. In addition, you have now been with the women they were with before you came along. And you begin to wonder why you feel like you're losing your mind at times, emotionally. You have become emotionally unbalanced, roller coaster. Ultimately, you have connected yourself to Harry, Jerry, Larry and Mary Jane and Sally Sue. Them and their women are now connected to you.
Wow.
So, unclean soul ties. And Pastor Rebecca, I realized when God began to deal with me about this, when I wrote this book, in 2008 when God began to deal with me about this.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, God, we need someone to teach us this. Well, you know, God was, okay, you teach them. Me? Me? He said, I want you to write a book on it. And when I began to research it, it's from my own experience. I said, God, this is serious. And had I known then what I know now, I would have waited to be married. I would have kept myself and waited because I realized that a lot of emotional things that I've gone through in life were because I was connected to so many people emotionally and spiritually, and I did not realize it because this thing is so deep, it's so heavy.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind.
Mm. Yeah, because just imagine that sheet, you know, that's a dirty sheet right there. You know, it hasn't been washed, and you've laid with man after man after man, even if, you know, throughout your lifetime, even before you get to the point where God begins to purge your soul.
Yes.
You have laid with all of these men, you know, until you get to that point, and your soul is pretty dirty. That sheet, that's a dirty sheet. It hasn't been washed, and you know, just filthiness. You know, and I that's one of the reasons that I praise God the way that I do, because I said God loved me in spite of my filthiness, because Lord knows I sure wasn't clean and pure when the Lord. When the Lord opened my eyes so that I could see him, you know, when he found me, we say found me, he knew where I was all along, but when he opened my eyes so I could see him, you know, I had been with, you know, some guys, you know, and I just thank God that he loved me in spite of my filthiness, but that does not negate the fact that the filthiness was there, you know, that sheet of my soul, it was filthy, you know, and so many of us are there where we have never allowed God to purge us from that filthiness, from those soul ties. We're still carrying around pieces of Rabu and John and Harry and Sally and Sue. You know, we're still carrying around in us and on our souls pieces of each and every individual that we slept with, along with the individuals that they slept with. And that's powerful right there, those soul ties. So many people do not deal with the soul tie, and Apostle the Lord, he gave you an assignment right there to deal and to teach on soul ties, because if we don't know, we perish for lack of knowledge. So I thank you for even bringing that to the forefront on today, that we need to be, what do we need to do? What do we do about these soul ties?
Now, this is how God dealt with me on. He had me to write another book, of course. disease issues of the soul.
Wow.
That's the other book that I have on my website. It goes even deeper than this. It goes a little deeper because the soul, within the soul, things are hidden. They're hidden. They're hidden away. And we can go on through life thinking we're whole and we're healed and we're okay. But because things are hidden in the soul, God has to reveal those things to us, because we're not aware of it. I wasn't aware of any of this until I went somewhere one day to a meeting, and this gentleman was doing a demonstration of two glasses. He had clear water in it, and it was about relationships. And he took a sponge, and he began to dip one dirty sponge into a glass, and he was doing a demonstration. He was showing us how the soul becomes when we sexually, we were one from one person to another person, and we're one person. And as he began to do that demonstration, I said, oh, God, I was just thrown. I said, oh, God, forgive me. And God has to reveal, and when we get in the presence of God, I have to go back to the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
When we get intimate with God, get in God's face and become naked. And we're worshiping God, just laying before God in his presence. Because he sees that we love him, and we're praying, God, cleanse me and wash me in your blood and sanctify me, Lord. And when we're loving on God, God will begin to bring stuff up. He'll begin to, and God is so wise. God is so wise. He doesn't bring this stuff up all at one time, because it would just really, it would do something to us mentally and emotionally. So what God does, he brings this stuff up because he knows where he's getting ready to take us and who he called us to be and the people that we must minister to and deliver. He said, first I have to get you clean, whole, healed, and delivered, out of.
Woo. Jesus.
So what God does first, he does surgery on us first. He reveals us to us first. And he says, you can't just hear it there. And sometimes the things that God pulled up out of me, even from my childhood, when I was a child and living in the house with my father, I want to share this a little bit. It only takes God for me to, I'm a very private and very personal person. So when God showed, I said, okay, God, I have to tell all of that, Lord. You know how I'm very personal, very private. I don't like my business. You know, so, you know, God, he graces me. So he's helping me here, Pastor Rebecca. So when I was a child, a little girl, I remember my father. My father would abuse me, not sexually, but emotionally and verbally, just emotionally just abused me and just rejected. So I grew up in that atmosphere. And I remember my father coming after me. I think I was about 17 or 18 years old. I think I was about 18 years at the time. I got pregnant when I was 17. I'm being naked here. I was 17 years old. I got pregnant when I was 17, ran away from home. I was pregnant when I was 17. So I wasn't no longer living at home. And so at this point, I was maybe like a year later, I was going to church. I was trying to, you know, give my life back to God, going with God. I was going to church to go to prayer. And I got off the bus, and my father came walking down the street. And as my father saw me, I saw him, and I ran into the church to hide from him, to run from him. And as I was running into the church, he came in right behind me, caught up with me, and he pulled out a switchblade knife. It was red, a skinny, long, I can remember just like I can see it now. It's a long, skinny, red switchblade knife, and it flopped open. You know, it's one of those, it opens up, push that little
yeah.
open. And he was coming after me, and I ran up the steps in the foyer of the church, and I got inside the church. And when I got inside of the church, he stopped. He wouldn't come any further.
Jesus.
And I got into the church. I was saved then because he attempted to kill me. My own father, blood father, Andermosa. And years later, when he died, I had flashbacks. And I kept having flashbacks and nightmares. So at some point in my life, I must have subconsciously buried it and forgot about it.
Yeah.
Some kind of way, my subconscious protected me from those nightmares, and I buried it in my soul. I hid it away. It was hidden, and I didn't know it. I thought I was okay. So later on in my adulthood, somewhere in my 50s, you know, I'm 56 now, but this was like maybe my early 50s or 51, I'm on my face before God. God cleansed me. God delivered me. God healed me. God used me for your glory. God, I want to be real. God, I love you. God, shape me. Shape me. Mold me. Oh, God. God, give me your character. Transform me. I'm just laying before God. And all of a sudden, here it comes up.
Jesus.
Here it comes out of my soul. God flashes my father before me. And he takes me back. It was like God was taking my memory, and he took me all the way back to that time. And I began to weep, and I began to wail, and I began to cry. And God began to pull all of that up out of my soul. He began to show me. I said, God, I didn't know that was still there. I said, oh, God, it hurts. He calls up and I'll see out of my God, it hurts. It hurts. And I began to weep. Began to cry, and I began to call on God, and he kept pulling it up, and he kept pulling it up, and he kept pulling it up till I was delivered. And when I spent all of that, I haven't told that in a long, I haven't shared that to anybody, but I don't know how many people listen, but they hear it now. When God's face wanted to be more like God. Oh,
Yes,
because
Lord.
I want to use it for His glory. I didn't want any of me to be in the way. I wanted to be all of God, being real with God. God began to pull it up. He said, now I want you to write a book on it. Now I want you to deal with the soul. Now I want you to go and help others get delivered from their soul and let know it has to come up from the soul. Because there were so many people that God had waiting on me to use me to deliver them, He had to first deliver me from that, then show me how this thing works.
My God.
This is how the disease issue of a soul book came about.
Jesus.
And when I wrote that book, Pastor Rebecca, I had some women bought the book. We had like a book club, came together, discussed the book. I didn't know what the book was going to do. I was hoping this wasn't right and that wasn't right, and I didn't say this right. I forgot to put this in there. I was concerned about all that. And as the women began to express what part of the book was a blessing to them, tears. I would have to go get a box of tissue because God was delivering His women in their souls.
So
look at the power of God. God was delivering these women. I'm not talking about young, I'm talking about women of age. Women, some women were like, oh, I think one was maybe up in my age, being delivered from their childhood. They didn't know it. They couldn't see it until they read the book. And they said they began to weep and cry. I said, oh, God, that's why I had to go through what I had to go through. That's why I went through what I went through with my father. That's why I had to lay the foot and you begin to pull it up. That's why I endured that pain and that suffering, because you knew you were going to bring me to a place where you were going to call me to deliver others from it.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus.
God help us.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We are now God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Thank you, my God.
It's painful. It's surgery. But if we want God to ever use us in a powerful way, because see, Pastor Rebecca, I refuse to be used in a little, you know, just a little calm way, you know, thank God for the, but I want God to use me to make an impact and be an impact in the lives of God's people so they can be set free.
Wow. That's
so
it.
They can be
that's healed. It. Yeah,
they can
that's
be
it.
Healed.
Because
we'll never make it. We'll never be who God called us to be. We will never arrive to that place in God if we are not healed, delivered, and set free from ourselves and from our soul.
Yes. Never. We will never. Wow. My God. Thank you, Jesus.
We have to allow God to set us free first. I can't deliver a nation. God can't use me to deliver a nation if I'm still bound in my soul.
Jesus. Wow.
If I'm still bound in my emotion, if I'm still bound in my mental capacity, in my mindset, if I'm still bound in these areas, God will never be able to use me to the fullness of His capacity for His glory if I'm still bound in my soul, if I'm still holding on to the past, if I'm still holding on to that old stuff, if I'm still holding on to the rejection and the hurt of the past and what He did and what she did. And I remember 10 years back what He did. I remember five, and we're still holding and reminiscing over this stuff over and over and over again. This is the reason why some of us cannot be healed. This is the reason some of us cannot go any further. It's different situations for different people. So we have to find out where we are.
Where are we?
You know, it's different situations for different people in their circumstances, but we have to find out where we are, why we're not going where we're going in God, why we're not reaching that ultimate place.
Wow.
And majority of the time is because there's something in us that God is trying to work out of us.
Uh-huh. My. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. My God. Yes. Yes, Apostle. My God.
He has to work some things out of us so then he can take us to win. It's time to win the nation. Pastor, I'm going to call you Apostle with that. Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus. My God, Jesus, you know, I just told my husband this morning I had an apostle from Africa come to my inbox and say, hi, Apostle Rebecca, how are you doing? And I told him, I said, well, praise God. I said, but it's Pastor Rebecca. And he texted me back, he Facebooked me back, okay, thank you for the correction. But, yeah, I'm walking in the past. And then last week I preached out, and the apostle said he prophesied that over me. And I said, Lord, I just embraced the mantle of prophet. And he said, what did you say? I just embraced the mantle of prophet here recently. Although I have been prophesying for at least 15 years, I just embrace prophet, but God knows, Apostle. God knows, and you are speaking today. You are speaking. The Lord has used you mightily. I haven't even had the opportunity to open up the phone lines, but deliverance has taken. And now come on, Minister Valerie Allen, don't play. She's in the chat room talking about Apostle Rebecca Simmons. but deliverance. See, you came up in here starting something, Apostle Van Zandt, Lester. But deliverance has taken place today on the Woman to Woman show. And this deliverance is going to continue throughout the archives, throughout the history of the archives of the Woman to Woman show, because there are women now who are being set free just by your the anointing. You have a yoke-destroying anointing on your life, and women have been set free by the anointing today, and men. And they're going to continue as they listen to the archives to be set free. You have gone deep. The Lord has taken us deep today and pulled up something from the root. Just by you, that testimony about your father and the switchblade, my God, I saw four women get set free right there. As a matter of fact, it was three women and a man being set free right there just from that testimony, because God had you. That was prophetic. God had you release that testimony today here on the Woman to Woman show. And I saw demons just fleeing, crying out, you know, because that yoke had been destroyed and they had to lose somebody up in here today. So, Apostle Van Zandt, I just praise God for you and your sharing. We only have 12 more minutes. God, this went fast. It went quickly. But God did a quick work today. But I thank God for you and your sharing. We were talking about your book, but there are many books that the people need to read that you have written, and I need them to go to your website. We were talking about The Wrong Decision today. We need your website, Apostle Van Zandt. We need your website. Before we go any further, let's give your website so people can know how to get in touch with you and how to find out about your books and how to buy your books.
Yes, my website is Hold on. I'm giving you my email address. My website address is www.apostolickingdom.org. www.apostolickingdom.org. That's my website. You can go and click on the link that says books, and it will pull up all of my books that I have. I also recommend Disease Issues of the Soul. That's a book of deliverance as well. And then I have a book on there for men, a man formed from the dust of the ground. I just want to throw that out there. Man formed from the dust of the ground. That's a book for men to encourage the men as well.
Amen. 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 Praise God. I put that in the website, in the chat room, so that those in the chat room could click on that and go on over to your website. Apostle, I don't know. I've had a couple of hands raised since we started. I don't know. Do you want to talk to a couple of people?
That'd be fine. Whatever the Lord says.
Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Area code 973. I believe that's Sister Roz Mitchell. I don't. Your hand is raised. I don't know if you wanted to be on the air, but you are on the air. Welcome to the Women to Women show. Amen. She must have herself muted. Okay, so we'll go to the next call. Area code 908. Your hand is raised. You're on the air. Welcome to the Women to Women show.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Rebecca. It's the Elizabeth
Lord,
Cynthia.
Mother Rosa? Is this Mother Bailey?
Hello?
Yes.
This is Evangelist Cynthia.
Amen. God bless you, Evangelist Cynthia. God bless you. Welcome to the Women to Women show.
God bless you. I don't want to say much because it's already been said. The word has already been confirmed. God did what he needed to do. I just wanted to just give God some praise for just confirmation for me with my women's support group. We were talking about roots of bitterness, and then to come and hear this on today, I'm like, he was in my meeting the last couple of weeks.
Because
we've been dealing with that and just dealing with you got to get to the root of things and, you know, not the surface, but get to the root. When she was talking about that banana, I was like, that's it right there. That's
my
it.
God.
It's the stuff inside of us that's killing us in the church. It's not the stuff that people can see. It's that stuff that only God sees. And when you get naked before God and allow him to come in there and just root that stuff up out of you, you'll be blessed, and then you can bless somebody else. So the word was good on today. I was blessed. I was truly blessed.
Apostle.
Praise God. We just thank God for the word being confirmed to her. We just praise God for that. Was there a question? I don't know if I heard the question or not. I didn't hear a question.
No, just a praise report. She's just giving God some praise and showing her appreciation for the word, saying she received the word on today.
Praise God. We thank God for that. We just give God honor and glory for that. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson. And thank God for confirmation, you know. Amen. God is, he's working and he's speaking. Amen. So continue to let him do the work that he's doing in your life. And thank you so much for calling in today.
Amen. God bless both
God
of
bless
you.
You.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Apostle, I tell you, I'm going to give you back the floor. Unless we have any more calls, I don't see any more hands raised. If you want to talk in this last 7 minutes, if you have a question or a prayer request, the lines are open. You can call in to 646-652-4832 and give us your question or your comment or your prayer request. We have 6 more minutes left. Apostle, I'm going to give you the floor again. I want everybody to know, again, to go to Apostle Sansan Luster's website. She is a powerful woman of God, a beautiful woman of God, and she doesn't look like what she's been through. The glory of the Lord is all over her. You can see it by her pictures. She's a vessel of his honor, a vessel of glory. www.apostolickingdom.org. Listen, don't just go there, but support the ministry. Not only support the ministry, but sow into your healing. Get a copy of one of her books. Whatever one you see, I saw a couple. I purchased this book. I don't normally purchase books when I invite people to come because I'm sowing into that ministry. Amen. I'm partnering with them in ministry. Amen. So be a partner of what God is doing through this woman of God, what he's doing through her. Be a partner and go ahead and sow into the ministry. Buy a book. you know, and you will be blessed. Buy a book for somebody else, you know, to sow into their life. If you know somebody broken, busted, and disgusted, buy a book and give it to them so that they can be healed. Amen. That's how we could. You want that anointing? This woman walks with a great anointing. Sometimes we want the anointing that other people walk in. One way that you can share in her anointing is sowing into this ministry, buying her books, and sowing that book into the life of somebody who needs this ministry. Then you have shared in the anointing that's on the woman of God's life. So there's a more than one way to share in somebody's anointing, and I encourage you to do that because yokes will be destroyed. Amen. Apostle, we have, and I want to give you closing remarks. Apostle Vanzant Luster, that's VanzantLuster, connect with her on Facebook. Invite her to your broadcast, amen, so that this word can be spread, amen. Because some of you have broadcasts, invite her to your church, amen. Have her come and minister at your women's conferences, amen. But you can find out how to get in touch with her through her website, and that's at apostolickingdom.org. Okay, Apostle, with this last 4 minutes, I want to give you closing remarks just before I go off the air. Is there anything else burning in your soul that the Lord would have you to say to us?
I just want to say in closing, I want to encourage the men, if there are any men listening, if the men, that God has the men just in my soul, to encourage the men that God has not forgotten them, that God loves them, and he wants them to be healed also, and to rise up and walk in that priesthood that God called you to walk in, and be that priest, be that Boaz that God has called you to be in your house. You know, just allow God to heal you. And I want to say to the women that you are worth the wait. Know that you are worth the wait. Know that you are worth the wait, and to look for developed qualities. We didn't get a chance to touch some things, but, you know, look for developed qualities in a man of God. Just don't sell yourself short. Keep your standard level. Those that are single, keep your standard level. Know that you're worth the wait. Keep yourself clean before God, to stay in a place of worship. And I just want to say this to everyone that's listening, get naked before God. Get naked before God and allow God to reveal you to you so God can do that surgery and do that cleaning and bring you into a place of wholeness and into the full image of Christ so he can use you in a greater, powerful way for this hour. And Pastor Rebecca, I just want to say to you, God bless you. I appreciate you, woman of God. I thank God for the knitting of the Holy Ghost. I thank God for whatever it is that God is doing. God is doing something here. I thank God for that knitting, for that connection, for what God is doing. And I just praise God for you. And then if God is calling you into that apostolic place, I would say to you to just prepare yourself because God has something greater. And I heard you say you were just getting comfortable with the prophetic. When God is ready to do something, if he can trust you, if God can trust you in that place, then God says, I can trust you to take it to the next place. Because what we got going on in the earth now, we got so many false apostles and false prophets and false pastors that's going on. God is looking for those that are just willing to submit and obey him, willing to submit to the call, willing to submit to be chosen, because we all are called, but God chooses those out of the call. So a chosen and a call of God is placed upon certain ones' lives. Everyone is not chosen and called, but there's a call to many. There's a universal call. There's a universal call, but there is a chosen out of the call. And when God chooses you out of the call, then that means that's a specific assignment for your life. So I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless your ministry. I bless your strength, your body, that God will just take you even higher. And also, I'm hearing people. I don't know if you've been asking God about television, but just expect God to even put you on TV, on television next. That's going to be your next place that the Lord will cause you to walk
right.
into is television. So we just thank God for that open door. I see
yes.
God doing that. So just prepare for God. It's going to be favor all the way. It's going to be favor all the way. It's going to be also internet TV as well. So the favor, the way is already made for you to walk into that place in Jesus'
Jesus. Now, you just laid me in the spirit. Amen. Wow. Because I have been researching and looking at internet TV, and my husband has been declaring TV, wow, and the Lord is definitely working that out. To God be the glory. We receive that, and I receive the blessing, the apostolic blessing from you, even over the ministry, amen. We thank God for the agreement of the apostles. You know, we are apostle Matthew Tillery in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and now to have that double blessing from another apostle, we receive it. My husband and I receive it. God bless you, Apostle, and thank you so much for those words and for obeying God and for agreeing to come. I know you're very busy, so I'm going to ask you if you would pray. I just want to pull on your spirit just a little bit more and just ask you to pray for those who are hurting. I want to give a time check to Ray and Kathy Jones. It's 3:01 p.m., and we are on our way off the air as soon as Apostle Van Zandt prays for us. For those who are hurting, for someone who's been hurt by their father, maybe hurt by their mother, and someone who's dealing with soul ties, if you could just pray us out, I would appreciate that greatly.
Praise God. Praise God. Father, God, we just thank you right now for this radio ministry. We praise you for your greatness and your goodness. Father, we lift up and hold those, the men and the women who are hurting at this time, who are still connected in unclean soul tie connections, who are yet bound, stuck in their past, Father. We pray right now for a deliverance, a breakthrough in their soul. We pray for a healing in their mind, their soul, in their spirit. Father, we pray right now that you will release a healing, that you would give them the courage to do what they cannot do themselves, that you would give them the courage to walk out of that old place, walk from their past, let it go, let that old stuff go, that they will begin to walk in the healing process in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would heal those that are listening on today. And Father, I pray that the word that has been spoken fall on good ground. It would take root and it would manifest into complete deliverance and healing into the lives of your people. And Father, we just bless those that are listening today. We bless our Pastor Rebecca and her husband in the ministry. We thank God for them, Father. We bid them Godspeed. We thank you for the increase in their lives, in their ministry. We thank you, God, for all what you're doing. Bless the people, increase the people, and have them to walk in the place you would have them to walk. In Jesus' name we pray, and we count it all done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. Well, I'm going out rejoicing. God bless you, Apostle Van Zandt, and thank you again for being with me on today.
Bless. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to just play a song as we go out. This has been Pastor Rebecca Simmons. My very special guest has been Apostle Van Zandt Lester. Again, her website is www.apostolickingdom.org. And you can go over there and check her out and check out her book. And meet me right here next week at 1 o'clock p.m. Unless you come to the service tomorrow. We're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. And this is a song dedicated to all the men and women out there who are still holding on to some stuff. As Apostle Van Zandt Lester told us today, we got to let that stuff go. And this is He Wants It All. God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
That the voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he it all today. Serve me. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down. Let go of your idol. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for hearts that are desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me. Love me. Child that will give him their own, give it all.